You're listening to Dr. Ann West on Truth from the Source, bringing you cutting-edge interviews discussing important life, health, environmental, and metaphysical issues that could affect the well-being of our lives. Join me every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on bbsradio.com. You're listening to Dr. Ann West on Truth from the Source, bringing you cutting-edge interviews discussing important life, health, environmental, and metaphysical issues that could affect the well-being of our lives. Join me every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on bbsradio.com.
I have Mr. Oxygen with me, Ed McCabe, author of Flood Your Body with Oxygen, Therapy for Our Polluted World. Welcome to the show, Ed. How are you?
I am fine.
Great to have you on the show. We've done a few shows together in the past, and you've always left myself and my audience with incredible information to help to heal themselves and to take their health and into their own hands.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's what we're trying to do.
Right. So, Ed, for our listening audience's sake, maybe you could give us a bit about your background, how long you've been working with in the oxygen business, and what got you into it.
Sure. In the 90s, I did a lot of traveling all over the world, interviewing doctors, interviewing clinics, interviewing patients that have been using various oxygen therapies and supplements. But it all really started with my book, my first book, which I wrote in 1988. And at that time, we were told that AIDS was going to kill everybody, and there was no cure. And I said, well, I better start doing some research here into what disease is really all about and all that. And so I decided to interview people all over that were using various forms of oxygen. And it was such a new subject at the time, because it just made total sense. The simple fact is that bacteria, viruses, funguses, and pathogens are mostly anaerobes, which means that by scientific definition, they cannot live in oxygen. They can only live without oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to focus my attention on some of the little-known researchers on the planet at the time. And my first book was pretty much dedicated to their work. It was a overview of everything that had gone on up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people were saying that viruses couldn't live in oxygen. And I said to myself, well, this is what we're all looking for. This is the answer to this big scary thing that everybody's going to get AIDS and everybody's going to die and there's nothing we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
So by concentrating on this area of research that was at that time unknown to the public, unknown to even the people really in the alternative health community.
And that's in the West, though, but in Europe it's been going for years, hasn't it? Many years.
Well, it went to Europe after flourishing here in the United States, in the continental U.S., because around the 20s or 30s or so, you had the well-financed efforts, let's say, of what we now call normal medicine in this country,
mm-hmm.
To discredit and get rid of all competition. These were back in the days of the oil mm-hmm. barons and the railroad barons.
Mm-hmm.
These people, you know, they played hardball, and so they got rid of everybody they could that they saw as competition and felt great about that because, it was, you know, in their mind, it was the American way to succeed and overcome. And they were going to push their drug agenda on the world. Well, of course, they were well-financed, being financed by the people that are the ones that are doing all the money, the transport in the country, the oil, the railroads, that sort of thing.
Well, uh-huh. So they were really controlling what was going on and how they needed the world to look around them.
Yes, these people were very well-financed. Okay, hang on. We had a disturbance here in the house.
Okay.
And so I was unable to talk there for a second.
All right, Ed.
I apologize for that. So what you had was this well-funded effort to get rid of all known, natural known healing methods. One of those, of course, at the time was the various oxygen therapies, oxygen therapy, ozone therapy, all the things that were being used successfully by the doctors, the naturopaths, the traditional healers, all that went out the window. And so we lost this body of knowledge. And so there was enough remnants of it around when I came along to pick up the trail again. Is what happened here? Well, it turns out that a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about tonight went to Europe and flourished over in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the situation where there was this existing body of knowledge. It wasn't quite developed like it is now, but it was there, and there was enough left to show us that this was very successful, and this is something we should really look into, really investigate here. And I picked up the trail. Now, I noticed that no one else had known about any of this stuff. This was like a lost art in this country. And so when I wrote the first book, it was really the first time that there was a mass public awareness of this subject, again, available in this country. And so in a sense, at that time, in the 80s and early 90s, I was the pioneer. I was around lecturing all over the world to people on the subject of oxygen therapies and just how simple and wonderful and how effective they were. And what they were good for everything. And
how does the FDA stand with oxygen therapies in the United States today? Where do they stand with it?
You mean right now? What is the...
Yeah, what is there any restrictions and regulations on it?
Well, there's not supposed to be. The art of medicine is such that the doctor, once trained and licensed and set out to practice, he... traditionally in this country, has the right to do anything he wants.
I've heard kind of differently in regards to California doctors, especially regarding cancer therapies. Because I don't know if this is correct or not 100%, but if a doctor in California prescribes anything other than chemotherapy and radiation for cancer, he's going to be in trouble.
Well, yes, that's one way of looking at it. And what I was going to say was that bureaucratic mindset of
mm-hmm.
we must approve everything is fairly new. And
mm-hmm.
although the proponents of that mindset say we want one central authority to tell everybody what they can and cannot do, that's a recent phenomenon in America. Before
mm-hmm.
that, we had the ability to choose and to live our lives the way we wanted to without all this authority and standardization. Well, with the rise in population, people of, shall we say, lesser vision, their solution to the way to regulate safely more people is to have more and more control. Well, of course, that's, you know, against the Constitution, etc., but they did succeed in rising politically. That mindset did succeed in rising politically to the top of the heap, and so we have people that will tell you it's legal or it's not, or it's illegal, and that sort of thing. When actually
mm-hmm.
a doctor really legally still has the right to practice any way he sees fit. Now, to codify that, because that was being lost, there's about 14 states, I think. I'm not sure of the exact number, but I think there's about 14 states right now that have actually put into their laws that it is okay for a doctor to do whatever he wants to do as long as he considers it safe, effective, and keeps good records about what he's doing, and it doesn't harm anybody. So
that's great.
They actually wrote these laws, which are called Alternative Medicine Practice Acts.
That's excellent.
So there are some states that did that to ensure that the doctor has the right to do whatever he wants. Now, of course, there will still be people that want to support the drug-only theory of medicine, which is
right.
Everything that's wrong with you, we're going to give you a pill. Well, the problem with the pills is that the pills have a lot of side effects. You pick
mm-hmm.
up any one of these notions, potions, and nostrums you can get at the pharmacy. You pull out the piece of paper that came with the drug, and it'll tell you, like, your arm's length of all the things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can go wrong. Like, okay, you're going to take this because you got a runny nose. Well, you could go blind, and your liver could fail. and 2 out of 100 people this happens to. Let's hope it's not you. That's the kind of warning you get in these things.
I've seen them. It's unbelievable.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that they were trained, and they used to work at a pharmacy, and they were instructed by the pharmacy to remove that paper, even though it's required by law to be shipped with the drug. Once it got to the drugstore, their company policy was to remove all those pieces of paper because the patients were asking too many questions.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, it says here that I'm going to go blind and my liver's going to fail. What's that all about? Well, that wastes too much time for the corporate pharmacist. So they didn't want them asking questions. And so you have these forces, these political forces in medicine that are vying for control of people's minds and their health. And one side, you have the drugs, which is the same as the chemo, the radiation, the surgery, like you were saying, where
Yes. You
have forces trying to outlaw anything other than drugs, chemo, and surgery, because that's where all the money is. That's what
Yes. Everybody's
trained. It is the only way to do it. Well, then let's go back to the medical school. And one of the favorite things I like to tell people about the oxygen therapies that we're talking about tonight is that it's not taught in American medical schools, and yet it is standard medicine in many other countries. And yet doctors in the United States do not even know what it is.
And they poo-poo it.
And
even
they
poo-poo
when, it because, when... well, if it was any good, I'd know about it,
right.
wouldn't
I? Right.
You know, that's their attitude. And,
mm-hmm.
and the truth is that once they get out of med school, they're induced in medical school with, you know, pens and papers and knapsacks, and in the summertime, the vacations are, we'll come to the drug plant, and by the way, it's right next to the beach here, you know. And so they get the students used to getting these, what I call, just plain old bribes. I mean, they would call it complimentary favors and things. And they start with giving them a free stethoscope, you know. Well, by the time the poor person is out of med school, then we have a situation where they're just used to feeding at the trough, like
mm-hmm.
all the other doctors before them have been doing for a number of years. And these giant mega corporations that run the pharmaceutical industry on the planet, they are completely at ease with literally bribing doctors to get them, paying them to be ghostwriters and paying them to sign clinical trials that the pharmaceutical company has written but they had no input into. And this is just normal business practice. And, you know, their sites, they're starting to rat themselves out, so to speak, and that this practice, these fraudulent practices have been getting so bad that you walk into a doctor's office, you're hard-pressed to see anything in the office that doesn't have the name of a drug on it somewhere, like the
mm-hmm.
coffee mug and the bowl of sweets.
And now it's true. They have the notepads, the pens.
Yep, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. What's
mm-hmm.
going on behind the scenes is what's wrong with medicine in this country today, which is that the aggressive forces of marketing for these companies have overcome common sense.
Right.
So much so now that the editors of the medical journals are actually complaining that they can't tell what clinical trials they've been writing about are true or not. They're actually writing articles. The editors and the former editors are now starting to be whistleblowers within their own industry to say, look, we're paid so much money to advertise this stuff that we let things slide, so to speak, and then all these phony articles get published. Well, then that led to all these things where they're starting to yank drugs off the market and this and that, and people are, well, yes, there were a lot of deaths, but that occurred after we closed the program. so they say it was not our fault. You know, okay, sure it isn't. So people are, that's all starting to catch up with them. It's all
and
starting
so are the medical malpractices, I mean, that are in hospitals from drug overdoses or wrong prescriptive drugs to the wrong patients. I mean, that's becoming more public knowledge now, whereas before it's always been hidden away, but people are investigating more today.
Yeah, if you ask the average person, you know, if something goes wrong with your health, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go see the doctor. That's the, you know, what are you going to do then? Well, I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And well, what about anything else? Well, that's all I need to know. You know, he's the doctor. That mindset is from the 40s and the 50s where humanity was actually worshiping doctors as gods is failing them now because they're idols of clay, you know, so to speak. And,
yes.
And they have limits, and they're humans with egos, and they want bigger and faster cars, and so they're willing to cut quarters and get a better house for their family while people are dying and suffering, and they say, well, it's not my fault. I'm just part of the cog in the wheel, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that we've got less and less responsibility where the old country doctor searching for truth will never say anything that's wrong to anybody ever, will never hurt anybody ever, and studies diligently in his craft. Well, that doesn't happen. What you have now is a system of education where things like oxygen therapies are left out, completely left out of the curriculum. They have no idea that, for example, in Russia, there are schools, literally teaching medical schools and hospitals dedicated to active oxygen or ozone therapies. Now, when we say the word ozone, we're not talking about oxygen in the sense of the ozone layer is the good oxygen and the ozone in the ground is the bad oxygen. What we're talking about here is the medical form of oxygen, O2, which we breathe all the time, that energized and turned into O3, O4, O5, O6.
Which then becomes active oxygen?
Yes, those higher forms beyond O2 we call ozone, and O1 or O3, O4, O5, O6, that's all active oxygen because it's a very aggressive form of oxygen, where the O2 we're breathing is a very stable form. That's why when we talk about oxygen therapies, people that don't know, like the doctors, who don't know, who have never been taught what it really is,
mm-hmm.
will make fun of it and say wrong-headed things and just unfactual things completely because they're assuming they know what it is because they're supposed to be so smart, and they're absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they assume what isn't true, and then they will make a pronouncement like, well, I wouldn't use that stuff. That'd kill you. Ozone's poisonous smog, isn't it? Well, okay.
Yeah, now, Ed, how do you best feel that oxygen and ozone treatments are given to a patient? I mean, let's look at the different ways, for instance, that it can be taken.
Sure. There's lots of ways to put oxygen into a person's body, the human body, and there's lots of ways to do it safely and effectively. And we're talking about the active forms of oxygen, like O1. Most of the therapies will deliver O1 ultimately, the singlet form of oxygen. That's what's really deadly to bacteria, viruses, funguses, and pathogens. I mean, that form of oxygen just in a heartbeat just burns them up. They're gone.
Does it do any damage to the healthy cells?
Not at all. And the reason is because our human form has evolved in this oxygen sea, the sea of oxygen. We've evolved in that our entire lives and for generations and generations. So we're perfectly adapted to live with lots of oxygen around us. Well, that means that nature, God, has provided a way for the normal healthy cells to protect themselves from oxidation, from being oxidized by the oxygen. And indeed, what happens is a normal healthy cell will generate from within itself, all the normal healthy cells do this. They generate an antioxidant coating around themselves. And so a normal healthy cell, in a sense, you just think it figuratively as creates and puts on its own raincoat
mm-hmm.
that protects it from any oxygen passing by the cell. And if it wants oxygen, it'll open up the ionic calcium channels, reach out, grab the oxygen, and pull it in and close the door again. So when a cell needs oxygen, it will take it from its environment, and when it's too much oxygen, well, it just shuts the door, and the antioxidant coating will, in a sense, numb the oxygen so it doesn't react with the cell. Now, this is a beautiful mechanism, because what I've just described here, it means that oxygen, active forms of oxygen, when put into the human body, only attack the dead, weak, feeble, diseased, and dying cells. So, if the cell has been infected, let's say like with a virus, let's say you've got the hantavirus or Ebola or bird flu or AIDS, or the common cold, whatever virus is inside the cell, that virus is in there hijacking the cell's mechanism to protect itself and is using that mechanism to make more copies of the virus. So the virus is making more copies of itself. Well, that's a damaged, weak, feeble, diseased, and dying cell, like I just said.
Yes.
That cell can no longer produce an antioxidant coating to protect itself against being oxidized by oxygen. This is our immune system at work.
Now, once it's gotten one of those diseased cells, is it easy for the ozone to get out of the body?
Ozone, when put into the body, and again, folks, it's not smog. We're talking about medical-grade, active forms of medical oxygen used all over the world. Millions of dosages have been given. The side effect rate is one of the lowest in the world for these therapies. And it's simply the reason you don't know about it, or your doctor doesn't know about it, is it's not taught in American medical schools on purpose, because the funding for the medical schools comes from the drug industry, and they don't want you knowing about the competition. That's the only reason you don't know about it. But once you put these active forms of oxygen into the body, they very quickly go to work and revert back to O2. So they're harmless to us. They only attack the dead, weak, feeble, diseased, and dying cells because the normal cells are still producing the antioxidant coating that protects them from lipid peroxidation or the burning up of their outer envelope. And because of that, it's a beautiful, nature's beautiful selective mechanism of how to get rid of disease in the human body. If you take in enough oxygen, it will only attack the dead, weak, feeble, diseased, and dying cells. It will not touch or harm in any way the normal, healthy human cells. It's a perfect solution. And this is one of the things I've been teaching now for 18 years. And people that have listened to what I've had to say have reported to me, they've come back a year later and said to everybody else in the room I'm lecturing to, a year later, you better listen to what this man said. I was sent home to die with 2 weeks left to live when I heard his first lecture a year ago. And look at me today. I'm hale and hearty and running around. Now, I had that happen to me over and over and over my past 18 or so years lecturing all over the world. So I knew that what I was saying was true. And indeed, it's backed up in the literature. My book, Flood Your Body, my new book, Flood Your Body with Oxygen, is 640 pages, and it's got over 131 medical sites in it that I reference in there. You can, you know, read the book and say, well, here's the proof of it right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my website, oxygenhealth.com, I've got over 500 references. If you get on the government's, our own government's website, Medline, you can find over 238 clinical trials, most of them double-blind, proving everything I'm telling you here tonight. But because there's nobody pushing it on a daily basis except for me and my friends, let's say, people that adhere to what I'm talking about here, you'll never hear about it.
Right.
So it's spread from word of mouth. And my first book in 1988 that I came out with, we sold 250,000 copies with no major publisher, all by word of mouth.
That's awesome. Ed, let's look a little bit about, you know, the reasons why people don't want to wait until they have some disease. They don't want to wait until they've been diagnosed to live preventatively with oxygen.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it. That's really what this is all about. If I could get everybody to realize that if you will just supplement some form of active oxygen on a daily basis into your life, you and your family and everybody else that knows what we're talking about here will have the best chance of survival, they will have the best chance of never getting sick, and they will have the best chance, if they do get sick, of recovering very quickly. They will also find that, according to all the interviews I've done, what I've seen in my body, what I've watched in other people's bodies that have done this kind of a regimen where you put a daily supplement of some kind of oxygen into your diet, into your life, and it comes in pills and liquids and potions and injections. There's all different ways to do it. That's what the book is about. It's like the consumer Bible to how many ways can you put oxygen safely and effectively into the human body.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you get it in there, you are better off than everybody else. You have a competitive advantage. Number one, you're going to have more energy. Number two, you're not going to age as fast. You're going to eliminate and have better digestion than anybody else around. And everybody I interview who does what I just advocated, they get some form of an oxygen supplement or therapy on a daily basis. They take it every day. They all come back to me and say, I never get sick anymore. First thing they say is, I've got all kinds of energy now. I need less sleep. I'm running around like a teenager again. What is going on with this? Well, you're returning to normal. Everybody else is subnormal. Everybody else thinks, well, there's plenty of oxygen in the air. And they don't realize that the pollution on this planet has risen to the level of taking away our ability to use the oxygen that's there. See, the oxygen is there, but it's not fresh and vital anymore. It's been contaminated with pollution which lowers its electrical charge so it doesn't carry as much of the sun's energy into the body, which is what oxygen is. It's the carrier of electrons from nature delivered by the sun into the humans, into the plants, into the animals. And if that oxygen has been around and mixed with enough pollution long enough, it's going to lose some of its atomic charge. So, yes, technically, there's 21% oxygen in the air, and the scientists will tell you, well, that's all you need. I say no, because look at the incidence of disease increase. I mean, like breast cancer, it's like doubling and tripling every 2 years or so, the incidence, the number of people that got it. Heart disease, same thing. And now we have, because of the political corruption within the medical system, now we have doctors, hospitals, and drugs are the leading cause of death in the United States. And people discovered this by adding up how many people died from adverse drug reactions, okay, how many people died from correctly prescribed drugs, okay, add that to how many people died in the hospital because of, whatever's going on in the hospital, how many people died because of the effects of all these. When you add that up, it makes this whole new class that's the number one cause of death in the United States is the medical profession itself. It's not heart disease or cancer, or, you know, people think that's what it is. No, it's actually the medical system itself. And yet people still slavishly hold on to this model because they really want to believe that something is honest and their health is at stake, their life is at stake, and so they want to believe that, well, it must be perfect. It must be, they must regulate themselves. The government wouldn't let them get away with it. Well, everybody's on the take.
I think now they're opening their eyes, though, to more and more truths about the malpractices of the medical association. Ed, in regards to oxygen with the heart, is what benefits does it give to the heart?
Well, let's define a heart attack and stroke.
Yes.
Lack of oxygen to the heart muscle. It goes directly to that point. You see, if you can, that's why a lot of people will say they get a lot of benefit with vitamin E.
Yes.
Or coenzyme Q10. Well, these are naturally occurring substances, nutrients, that you're supposed to have in your food. And if you don't have enough of them, then your heart muscle can't, it's ba-bump, ba-bump, ba-bump. It's doing that all day long, 24/7, your entire life. That muscle gets tired of doing that and less efficient if it does not have enough oxygen flowing to it to vivify it, and then enough oxygen flowing to it to burn up the waste, and then enough hydration and lymph fluid flowing away from it to carry the garbage and the waste metabolites away from those cells that are beating, 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 beating. So lack of oxygen causes the heart muscle to seize. It's a cramp. You get a heart cramp is what it is. And that's from a lack of oxygen to those muscles. So if you were to keep a high oxygen level in your fluids, in your tissues, all day long, just as a matter of course, is like a preventative, like we were talking about, your chances, in my opinion, your chances of getting a heart attack will be significantly reduced. And the cause of the things that lead to a heart attack are going to be removed from your body slowly by the addition of the oxygen on a daily basis. Because the second thing that oxygen does, we mentioned that bacteria, viruses, funguses, and pathogens are all anaerobes, meaning that they cannot live in oxygen. So if you were to put oxygen into the human body and keep it there, enough of it, how can these things live in you? The answer is they can't, and that's why everybody says to me, I no longer get the colds or the flus, because they have so much oxygen in their bodies that it simply cannot exist there anymore. The second thing that oxygen does, and I should say that the body does with oxygen when it finally gets enough of it, is it will burn up all the pollution, all the trash, all the toxins, all the, besides the bacteria and viruses, it also goes after everything that's not a normal, healthy human cell or immune component or food. The body will take the oxygen and burn it all up and then flush it out, put it in the lymph fluid, the blood, bring it down to the colon and the kidney, and excrete it, or you sweat it out or whatever. So people go through cleansing reactions when they first start taking a serious form of an oxygen therapy, not just the daily supplement, but you know, they start doing a heavy-duty thing because they've got some kind of condition they want to get rid of. They put a lot of it in there, hopefully under the care of some sort of a healer or a therapist that's trained in these various oxidative modalities. But when people do this, we find it in clinics and at home. People will report that, well, I'm going to the bathroom more often. Well, that's the body throwing off its waste.
Mm-hmm.
They will say that, well, you know, I got stiff for about a week. Well, that's the body throwing all the garbage into the lymph fluid. And as it's moving out, the body gets stiff because you you've drummed up, you've stirred up the pot, so to speak, and you're moving all the waste matter out of the body, and so the body may get stiff. You may get, if you really got something that should not be in you, you may get a little bit of diarrhea if you do too much of this stuff at first. In other words, if you cleanse too quickly,
mm-hmm.
you'll get these things happening. But if you cleanse slowly, and this is what we advocate, is just, well, do it slower.
And what would slowly look like?
Huh?
What would the regime look like?
Well, it depends on which one of the therapies you're taking. For example, I have some formulas that I came up with that oxygenate the body. There's three of them. One of them is called OxyLift. The other one is called OxyEarth. And the third one is called OxyFlush. Well, OxyLift generates oxygen in the body. OxyEarth gives the body all the missing minerals and sulfur, MSM, which determines cell wall permeability, your ability to absorb oxygen. So that's increased by taking the proper nutrients. And then the third one is the OxyFlush, which is magnesium and oxygen bonded to it. That cleans out the colon. So it doesn't matter whose supplements you take. They all do basically the same thing. They deliver oxygen to the body somehow. And when it's delivered, the body will start to clean itself out. And you will see something change. You will see some sort of reaction because everybody's filthy. I have this running joke with another radio show I do with one of the radio hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And we all always laugh and we say, everybody's a bag of dirty fluid. Well, if you think about it, we're an elasticized carbon sack, like they said on Star Trek once.
Uh-huh.
We're an elasticized carbon sack, but we're sloshing around with 70% water inside us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to look at that water, or basically look at the color of your blood.
Mm-hmm.
Like I went down to the bloodmobile here at the mall, and I hopped onto the bloodmobile, and I looked and I took a picture of the bags of blood, and they're all dark, dark purple or brown.
Ew. That sounds really dirty. Mine's cherry red.
Exactly. You know what's going on, see?
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to an ozone clinic, like let's go offshore here from Florida and go into the Caribbean, one of these ozone clinics where they're directly injecting IV oxygen ozone mixtures directly into people's bloodstreams on a daily basis, maybe once or twice a day for 6 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and under that kind of a protocol, the person will come in with cancer or AIDS or whatever they've got. Their blood will be filthy. It'll be dark brown, almost a black color, real dark purple. And at the end of the 6 weeks, or maybe 8 weeks, of getting this heavy-duty clinical oxygen therapy that's taught in medical schools around the world, that's used in hospitals around the world, not taught in the United States of America, they will get these therapies, and their blood at the end of the 6 or 8 weeks is a bright cardinal red. Just like primary red. That's the color it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the color it always is in the textbooks. But you go look at what the blood really looks like now. Today, in our modern polluted society, you can see how the pollution has been absorbed because we're swimming in the sea of pollution. This pollution has been absorbed into the human body. And that's why the blood is filthy. Well, that means the 70% water, if your blood looks like that, that means that all the fluid in your body, your lymph fluid, everything that your cells, your organs are floating in, this is all filthy. It's polluted. It looks like that dark bag of dark purple, black, brown blood. And it's supposed to be a bright cardinal red. And we can turn it back to that if people get enough oxygen long enough in their bodies. You look at their blood and you go, wow, that's great looking blood. You put it under a microscope, there's nothing there. You take the average person in the United States who's got this dark purple, black, brown blood, reflecting the state of filthiness of the fluids in their body from the pollution, from the improper eating, from the processed foods, all that gets into the body. You look at their blood under a microscope, it's full of all kinds of foreign organisms, there's little bugs and amoebas and little polyps and all kinds of things, little vegetable things like they look like little plants. And that's what people are walking around thinking is normal.
I think doing live cell blood analysis is a great way to check on your blood. A couple of times a year is what I generally do. And you get to see the universe living within you. You get to see everything that's in your blood and how healthy you are and how dirty it is, too.
It's an instant reality check.
It is instant.
You actually get to see what state am I really in. You know, let's stop guessing and diagnosing.
Mm-hmm,
let's stop sending the blood off to a lab to get somebody to put numbers on a piece of paper and to tell you it's normal or not normal. No. Look at the color of your blood. If
Absolutely.
It's a dark brown, a purple, a black color, you know it's filthy. And you know, I can tell you right now, I guarantee that if you put that blood under a microscope, you will see all kinds of things in your blood, which is supposed to be sterile, which they used to teach in the medical textbooks. Blood is sterile. Oh, yeah? Look at it today. It's not, as you know. You've done the microscopic work. You know what people's average blood looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's filthy. Just filthy. It's a horrible state of affairs.
You know, Ed, I was thinking that maybe we could open the phone lines up and see if anybody's interested in talking to you personally.
Sure, go ahead.
So if our listeners would like to call in at our toll-free number, this works worldwide. That number is 888-268-4313. And I'm Dr. Ann West. You're listening to Truth from the Source. And my guest today is Mr. Oxygen, Ed McCabe. He's the author of Flood Your Body with Oxygen. So, again, that number is 888-268-4313. Ed, there are clinics in certain parts of the world that we can go to and get these wonderful treatments. And your book has a whole list and very informative. Where would you say are the closest to the United States, or are there some in the United States?
You mean places where you can get this kind of a therapy?
Yeah.
They're scattered. In the United States, it's a mixed bag. Like I was saying, there's 14 states that have purposely gone and said, look, doctors have the right to do whatever they want.
So they can actually do the ozone now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent.
But you have to find a doctor that knows about it. Remember, it's not taught in American medical schools.
Right.
So if you ask the wrong doctor, hey, what is this ozone therapy? I heard this guy on the radio the other day. He was talking about oxygen, ozone therapy. He goes, look, if it was any good, I'd know about it. You'll either hear that or, you know, I've got a colleague in Germany that's been doing that for 30 years. That sounds real interesting. You can look into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to hear one of the two things or, well, you know, I do that. I don't talk about it much here in my practice because, you know, a lot of people are afraid of new things. But, yeah, that's available. So you just ask around. You know, you can go to a health food store and you can say, who's an oxygen doctor in this town? You know, who uses the oxygen therapies, the ozone supplements, this sort of thing? In fact, do you have any supplements in your store here that give you oxygen? And so
yes.
We've had
yes.
the growth of an industry since I started lecturing back in 1988. We've had the growth of an industry pretty much created from my public work. I've done over 1,500 radio and TV shows and speaking platforms in 18 years, and I have had a tremendous impact, just speaking factually, not blowing my horn, but just speaking factually. I've had an impact. I've seen it, because when I started, there was nothing. Nobody was doing it. Nobody was selling it. Nobody was producing machines for it. You couldn't find it. You had to go out of the country to get it. I started lecturing about what was available, the history of it in this country, the history of how it had to move to Europe because of being discredited by moneyed interests, the railroad barons and the oil barons in the turn of the century. And I created this public awareness. Well, then all the people that went to my talks, they then went into the business and started selling supplements because they saw it work in their lives and the lives of their family. So they started selling the supplements, and some of the more enterprising ones would say, hey, I'm going to start making machines and devices. So then you had the growth of the ozone air cleaners, the ozone medical machines in the underground in the United States. You had people starting importing this stuff out of Europe, out of some of the clinics and manufacturers in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so all this happened. I watched it happen under my watch, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
over the past 18 years. And now there's a whole industry. You type in, for example, you just take the phrase Ed McCabe, my name, Ed McCabe, put it in quotes, put it in Google, and then put the word oxygen next to it. And you tell me how many hits you get. You see, and people are like amazed that it's had this kind of reach, and still there's people that don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this growing, moving phenomenon the waves are cresting and tossing, and you just gotta look for it somewhere. It's out there. It's all over the place now.
Yes.
Because of all this work. And all these people that have taken up beyond where I started going, they're all out lecturing, selling things, selling products. They're talking about what they're doing. They're telling people they got well. They're, you know, I've met so many people now that have been sent home to die who did the stuff that I talk about that's used all over the world. They come back a year or two later. You know, I'm still here. 5 years later, yeah, I'm still here. So there must be something to it. I saw it in my own life. I saw it in the lives of my friends, and I saw it in the lives of all those that read the book or came to the lectures, and, you know, that used it. So I know that this is real. I don't need to send my blood to a lab and have some guy tell me, well, you're this and that level. Because that's the twist. That's the, you're looking right at it. The blood is filthy. You're looking at the color of the blood. When they take it out of you, you look at it coming out, and it's this dark purple, black, brown color. And you got to say to yourself right then and there, I don't care what your tests say. I'm looking at filth, okay? It's not cardinal red.
What complementary treatments would you say work really well with oxygen? Obviously,
oxygen,
yoga
everything.
And breathing is also, I think, would complement it.
Well, what you're talking about is the basis of life itself.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, it goes with everything. Anything that is good for the body is enhanced when you have more oxygen in the body. So the body will take the oxygen, and whatever you're trying to do to it, the oxygen is really what it's about. For example, did you know that none of the waste products, now, life is a series of events where your body will create waste products, waste metabolites, because you're burning up, feel your head, 98.6 degrees, okay, you're burning up, you're hot, that means your body is burning food. That's why you've got 98.6 degrees, if you're healthy. And so that furnace is what's going on in you. That furnace naturally has ashes, that they're natural waste metabolites, things that are left over from this process. Now, your health is in a lot of ways determined upon how quickly you can get rid of the trash, the waste metabolites, the leftovers. And you'll notice in the health food industry now, there's a lot of talk about alkaline versus acid,
mm-hmm.
the pH of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how being more alkaline is more healthy because in an alkaline state, you can't get a lot of bacteria and viruses living in the body because they won't live there. They only live in an acid-type condition.
And doing the ozone helps to create that alkaline balance again, doesn't it?
That's the beauty of it. That's
yeah.
the beauty. Everybody was talking a few years ago about coral calcium and how
mm-hmm.
that was so great for getting rid of your waste acids and all this stuff. Well, they missed the point. The number one thing the body uses, the number one, the prime thing the body uses to clean itself out is oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Well, let's look at the four major ingredients of the trash, the garbage, the pollution that's in your body. It's hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, and sulfur, H, C, N, and S. Those four elements cannot leave the body, and it's your pollution. That's your waste. That's what is supposed to be constantly coming out of you. When you breathe out, it's warm, it's wet. Well, it's also carbon coming out of the body, carbon monoxide coming out of the body, water coming out, H2O. So there's two of them right there, CO2, H2O. You notice oxygen there, both of those. And then you get on to, you know, your urine and your fecal matter. Well, sulfur and oxygen, SO2, NO2, nitrous oxide. These four elements, hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, sulfur, the waste products that if you let build up in your body, you would die. If you let that happen and the body couldn't take them out, you would be dead. First, you would get very sick, then you'd die very quickly. And that is how the body uses oxygen, number one, is it combines it with the waste products and moves them out of the body so they come out. And they can only leave if you've got enough oxygen for the body to do that. So that's why people have these wonderful cleansing reactions, which are temporary, that really may leave them feeling much more energetic and much more healthy afterwards, is because the body's taken the oxygen, the active forms of oxygen, and it's gone through and swept out the trash. It's squeegeed out the trash. It's scrubbed out the trash. Using the oxygen, it pushes out the trash.
Doesn't it need the antioxidants as well as the oxygen?
Well, this is trash that's been building up your entire life. So then you pick up a magazine and they go, oh, well, you need antioxidants. Well, the first thing right there is that word, antioxidant. So your mind is tricked into thinking, antioxidant. Oxidation must be bad if antioxidants are good. Therefore, I should take antioxidants and get rid of this terrible oxygen. So then you have a series of people, very well-paid PhDs, working for the vitamin companies now, not the drug companies, but the vitamin companies, are telling lies, trying to get everybody to buy their antioxidant vitamins. And so they tell you this oxygen is this horrible killer, and it's this producer of free radicals, and all the free radicals are going to kill you. And they talk about your... it gets so weird. People that should know better come from such an odd, faraway perspective to what we teach here that sometimes I just shake my head and I don't even know how to answer what these people are saying, because it's so cockamamie, it's so twisted, it's so anti-nature what they're saying. Antioxidants are basically the dark green and yellow vegetables, vitamins A, C, D, and E, and these things help the body regulate its uptake and use of oxygen. So an antioxidant is a bad name. It's a misnomer. It's a name that should not really be used. We should come up with a better name for what these things do, which is protect the body so that the body can use the oxygen and protect itself. And
now, for those who understand that antioxidants are like vitamin C, vitamin E, spirulina has a lot of antioxidants in, and they go in and they help clean out the body. Do you need to take more of them when you're doing ozone or an oxygen therapy?
It would be a nice thing, yes.
It would help.
In fact, many people don't react well. There were studies done in Germany, I think it was, where ozone therapy is very big in the form of autohemotherapy. And they found that 15% of the people were not responding to the ozone therapy, which defies all logic. Because if you think about what I've been saying, bacteria, viruses, fungus, pathogens cannot live in oxygen. And yet these people have something wrong with them, and were putting oxygen in their bodies. Something was missing. Well, what was missing was their diets didn't have enough antioxidants in them. So their bodies, although you were giving them the oxygen, the active forms of oxygen, the active form of oxygen wasn't being taken up by the body to be used in the immune system because the body didn't have enough nutrition, enough antioxidants, the dark green and yellow vegetables, vitamins A, C, D, and E. They didn't have enough of those nutrients in there so that it could protect itself by using the oxygen correctly. So once you put the antioxidants in, then you got a better reaction. So there's a normal complement of antioxidants that you should be getting every day. And if you're doing more oxygen therapy than just breathing, if you're actually supplementing or getting injected at the clinic or whatever, you should adjust your diet. And naturally, if the doctor understands the biological process, or the therapist or the healer, whoever you're working with, they understand the biological process. They know that the more alive a food is, the better it is for you. But then you run into the problem of how are we going to get enough nutrients? There was just a study that came out of England that showed that since the Second World War, they looked at the government's own figures of the content of certain vitamins and things and nutrients in food. Since the Second World War, most of the categories that you can classify these nutrients in food under are half of what they were at the Second World War. So because of the mechanized agribusiness, you know, big chemical type of ways of looking at food production, we've lost half of the nutrient value in our foods since the 30s and 40s. And there's comparable studies in the United States, there's books been written about it, showing that you now have to, what was one bowl of salad, you now have to have 25 bowls to get the same nutrition. And nobody's going to have 25 bowls of salad.
No,
so that means that chronically, everybody in the country who's normal in eating the food coming out of the food supply at the warehouse, they're all getting less than half of the nutrition. That's why I came out with the OxyEarth. The OxyEarth is 78 minerals and trace minerals. And the number one thing that's missing from everybody's diet is sulfur. Now, the sulfur is gone because when they started putting artificial fertilizer under the New Deal and all that, they paid the farmers to grow or not grow, and they gave them loans and all this. Part of the deal was, well, if you're going to take our money, you've got to use our fertilizer. And so they made them use the fertilizer. Well, the problem with the fertilizer is when they create the fertilizer, they have to heat it to create it. And once they do that, the heat drives the sulfur out. So we've had since the 50s, we've had all these generations come along since the 1950s who don't have enough sulfur in their diets because it's not in our food because they've been using artificial fertilizer. Now, what does sulfur do? It determines your cell wall permeability. It does many things in the body. MSM, DMSO, these natural organic forms of sulfur, they're wonderful because they determine cell wall permeability. That's the transport of oxygen into the cells and out of the cells. If the cell wall gets leathery or hard, you're going to prematurely age for sure. I mean, you get all kinds of wrinkles. But also, the waste is trapped in the cells because the cell's not that permeable because you're missing your sulfur because they put the artificial fertilizer. And you've gone through your entire life. If you were born after the 50s, you've gone through your entire life without enough sulfur. So that's why I came out with my OxyEarth, Mr. Oxygen's OxyEarth, and that is to replace the missing sulfur. So there's all these nutrition things that are adjuncts and cofactors in the use of the oxygen that must be addressed for full healing to take effect.
Wow, this is amazing that we have really at our fingertips these days all the stuff that we need to prevent disease and to live preventatively if we take the time to study. And I think that's what most people are lacking these days is the luxury of time.
Oh, yes. It's rush, you know.
Yeah.
There's actually like a consciousness revolution going on throughout humanity, all over the planet, where it seems like everybody's day is getting shorter and more things are happening, and people are trying to squeeze things in. Well, we have to remember that this vehicle we walk around in, this physical body, is the only house we've got. I mean, you can take away the house, and you can take away the car, and you can take away the kids, you can take away your wallet, but if I take away your oxygen, in a few seconds, you're going to be screaming and crawling at the walls to give me back my oxygen. I mean, let's put that in the perspective it's supposed to be in. That's number one. It's the one thing you can't do without for a few seconds. Everything else you can get over, you can get therapy, you can, you know, get the police to find it, whatever it is that's missing from your life. Okay, but oxygen, that's your responsibility. Nobody's going to be helping you with this. Nobody's going to be teaching this. Have you had your oxygen? Looking at their watch, you know, come on, take your oxygen.
Right.
You know, you got to do that.
Yeah. And I think we really need to carve out the time for ourselves and love ourselves more and give to ourselves on a regular basis rather than waiting for some big shock to come down the road and hit us.
Yeah.
Preparing to go through our life gracefully and really keep a practice that helps to maintain that health and stability. And keeping that pH in balance is really important, keeping the oxygen level high.
Yeah, what people don't know, and this, I'm glad we're doing the show and this point came up, is the number one way your body keeps itself slightly alkaline is by using oxygen to buffer and remove your lactic acid. Your lactic acid is the thing that makes you acid. That's the waste product, the major waste product in the human body, and the number one thing the body uses to get rid of that waste product is the oxygen.
Uh-huh.
So look there first, and then look at calcium and everything else you want to look at, the buffer of the acid. But oxygen is number one.
Uh-huh. Ed, we're out of time.
Oh,
and
we've
gone so quickly. Let's give out your website information again.
Sure, it's www.oxygenhealth, H-E-A-L-T-H, health, oxygenhealth.com. If you want to get any of my Mr. Oxygen formulas that I don't sell, but I designed and gave to somebody to sell, that's OxygenAmerica.com, www.OxygenAmerica.com. If you want to get my book, the 800 number for Flood Your Body with Oxygen, Therapy for Our Polluted World, is 800-247-6553. That's 800-247-6553. That's Bookmasters in Ohio, and I'll send it right out to you. Or it's in any health food store, or look on the Internet.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ed, again, for more information and educating us and helping us to see more clearly.
Well, sure. Thank you for the opportunity, yeah?
You're welcome. Take care. Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Dr. Ann West. I'll be back next week with more truth from the source. Join me again on bbsradio.com every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll bring you more cutting-edge interviews discussing important life, health, environmental, and metaphysical issues that could affect the well-being of our lives. Dr. Ann West at www.drannwest.com. See you next week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Dr. Ann West. I'll be back next week with more truth from the source. Join me again on bbsradio.com every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll bring you more cutting-edge interviews discussing important life, health, environmental, and metaphysical that could affect the well-being of our lives. Dr. Ann West at www.drannwest.com. See you next week.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.